We've just concluded the month of January, which was designated as pro-life month across the nation. As you recall, we had the March for Life in D.C. some weeks ago. We just passed the 45th anniversary of Roe versus Wade, which catapulted the United States into the number four position of the most abortions per year of any nation, putting us behind China, number one, Russia, number two, and believe it or not, Vietnam, number three. And with all of the great work done by pro-life efforts to reduce the number of abortions across the country, the often quoted statistics show that the actual number of abortions are indeed down nationwide. But is there any evidence to suggest that our nation will at any time soon condemn abortion as murder and embrace life once again? Well, to walk through some of these shocking statistics, I want to welcome back George Barna, Executive Director of the American Culture and Faith Institute, with us. George, I want to go right into this because there's so much information here. It's staggering. I'm going to start out like I did that last segment with you. I'm going to read one of the first statements that you've made in this report because I think it takes us to the heart of the findings. You said this, George, quote, "During the past few months, I have spoken at some pro-life events as well as several high-level gatherings of national conservative leaders. In each of those meetings, I have heard people say that we are in a great era for the pro-life movement, especially because millennials are highly supportive of life in the womb." But you go on to say this, George, "Sadly, it is not true. We are tying our hope to a myth," end quote. Tying our hope to a myth. So, George, hoping for the next generation to embrace life and end abortion, as you say, based on this research, is a myth. George, how serious? What did you find out that really underscores your claim that the hope that the millennials are becoming more pro-life is but a myth?
Well, Sam, I'd say it's a very serious situation. I mean, first of all, whenever you have a distorted picture of reality, you obviously respond to what you think reality is. But if that understanding is wrong, your actions are going to be off base. They're going to be ineffective. You know, we're in a situation now where when we look at millennials, we did this big study on people's attitudes about abortion and life, and what we found was that millennials are less likely than other Americans to, first of all, even believe that abortion is a moral issue, i.e. that there is a right or wrong response to life. Secondly, we found that millennials are less likely to say that abortion should be illegal in all or most circumstances. We found that millennials are less likely to say that abortion is murder. We found that they're less likely to say that all human life is sacred. We found that they're less likely to believe that the U.S. Constitution recognizes that there is value to every human life. And they're more likely to want to either continue or increase federal funding and support for Planned Parenthood. So you put that all together, and it begins to give you a picture of a group of people who not only are not leading the pro-life movement, they may be among the prime blockade trying to say, you know what, we don't want pro-life laws on the books. We don't want to recognize the value of life. We believe that everybody should have choice in every situation, that every individual is a unique person who needs to be able to make his or her own choices in every situation, whether you're talking about life or economics or governance or family or whatever it may be. And so I'm worried that the pro-life movement, because they've seen the passion of some millennials, and they're an activist generation. So yes, there are a lot of them that are in the pro-life camp, but there are many more of them who are in the pro-abortion camp. And so I'd hate to see us relax and say, oh, good, we can step back now, we can relax, we can pass the baton on and know that things are going to be in good hands and, you know, we can get on to other things. I mean, that's simply divorcing us from logic. When people don't even think any longer that this is a moral issue, we've got very deep worldview problems that are the foundation of everything that we're addressing here.
George, we are texting back and forth, Gary, Sam, and I, during your conversation here, and you just used the word that was used by both Sam and Gary in text, and that is, this is a worldview issue. Now, what you're sharing is deeply troubling and obviously greatly concerning, because some of us are looking at passing the baton on to the next generation. So let me ask you this. While the actual number of abortions, due to the fact that there's, you know, sonograms and there's all the technology that science, like you hear it said all the time, science is now on our side with the technology that's available. Women are able to actually see a baby in the womb. And I just had lunch where a young lady who's pregnant showed me the 3D image of her child. She was personally never considering abortion, but she talked about how that just changed everything with her when she could actually see her baby, 3D image of it. So all of that is on our side. But some would suggest that while the number of abortions is down, the actual killing of the young by the young may actually be on the increase due to other factors. What are those factors, George, and what does that say for the future of the pro-life movement?
Well, there are a number of other things that we've got to look at here. You know, part of it is attitudinal. When we look at attitudes, you know, I was just talking about the fact that they are not as pro-life as some people would like to believe. But there are other critical attitudes, too, as we look at perspectives about family, about marriage, about children with the millennial generation. They tend to think, you know, marriage is not as important as previous generations did. Maybe even more to the point, they're less interested in having children. They don't see children as adding value to their life. They don't see any kind of calling to be a parent or to raise a new generation of people who can make the world a better place. Another thing that we need to look at behaviorally has to do with birth control. And so there are a lot of, I think they call them abortifacients, different kinds of pills and other chemicals that they can take that will stop a pregnancy in the first, second, third day, whenever it may happen, very early on, so that you don't even know, perhaps, that you are aborting a human being. So all of those kinds of things are much more common with millennials than they were with previous generations. Add to that the fact that, again, going kind of a combination of attitude and behavior, when we look at something like adoption, we find that millennials are less keen on the whole idea of giving up a child for adoption, because for them, it's, as best we can tell from research so far, it's inconvenient and it's expensive and it changes their lifestyle, at least for the term of the pregnancy. And they don't want to go through that. They don't want to go through the emotional hassles. Listen, I understand all that, but as a father of three adopted girls, you know, adoption can be a great thing. And so there's just a lot of issues that we have to attack. It's not just getting people to say, you need to be pro-life. There's a whole body of thinking that revolves around this that goes back to what you identified as a worldview. You can't just force people into this issue without dealing with the foundations of how they think, why they think that way, and how it relates to the bigger issues of life and faith.
You know, George, we would think here at the American Pastors Network that one of the reasons why these kind of results are being seen is because perhaps the pulpit is not preaching and teaching the solid concept of the biblical worldview that leads to the result that the millennials today have a decreased value of life. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, you know, it's a difficult area because on the one hand, it's one of those areas where when we look at what kind of social issues and governance issues conventional church pastors are willing to teach or preach about, the two that typically top the list are abortion and same-sex marriage. But we also know that people are not getting enough of that. They're not getting a deep enough understanding of how that relates to everything else. And so, yeah, there's still a lot of work to be done there as well.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening here to Stand in the Gap today. I'm Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and Dave Kistler here, our special guest, Dr. George Barna. As we look at this whole issue of what millennials think about life, and we just talked about To believe that the millennial generation is espousing life is to believe a myth.